Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Dallas Seminary has a large number of very distinguished alumni. It has been my privilege in my lifetime to have met many of them. I would have to say, however, that of the ones that I have met, none are more fun to be with than Dr. John Trent. He has a marvelous sense of humor and brings to the task of teaching and ministry a blessing that he's actually going to talk about as he speaks with you. Yes, of course, he has a THM from Dallas Seminary, and he's earned a PhD. He's written 28 books and received awards for those books. But of all the things that he's done that are listed here for me to mention, I would say the fact that he wrote 6 children's books would have to be at the top of his accomplishments. I've written one, and it'd about kill me. It's a lot easier to write a systematic theology than a children's book, especially if it's going to have any substance whatsoever. So I admire him for that accomplishment. He has been married to his sweet wife, Cynthia, for 33 years. He has 2 lovely daughters, outstanding daughters, one of whom is here. Laura is with us today. She's from Baylor Nursing School, and she is here to cheer her father on. And we are glad that John is with us today. He is going to be available to the student body at 4 o'clock over in the Mitchell Ministry Center, in the big area, not in the little coffee area. So if you go over there, and if you want to talk about how to write books, maybe even children's books, but other books as well, he is a very accomplished author and is glad to meet with you about that, or family ministries, or whatever you would like to visit about. So we are going to see, before he comes to speak, a short video. And so if they will cue that up, as soon as that's finished, you will get to hear my friend and our alum, Dr. John Trent.
I can show you a letter at my house that my dad sent me. It was actually an email. I was in college, and it was, I'm dating myself, but it's kind of when email began. At least for me it did, that back in college. But I was in college in Mississippi, and my parents are from Baltimore, Maryland. That's where I grew up. And we were big Orioles fans. And my dad and I were communicating through email the day after Cal Ripken Jr. broke his big consecutive game record. And it's a huge deal where I come from. And so my dad's writing me about it and in this email. And I don't know if I think he intended to bless me, but whether he intended to or not, he changed my life that day. And this is what he said. He said, "Dear Jeremy, I was watching the game last night, and when Cal Jr. was doing his victory lap around the stadium, receiving all the affirmation from the crowd for breaking the record, the camera panned over to Cal Sr. And he said, Cal was crying and he was emotional because he was watching his son. And he goes, and I began to cry. He said, but what I want to communicate to you is not, I didn't cry because I was a Cal Ripken Jr. fan. And this is what he said at the end. He said, I cried because I have 2 Hall of Fame sons that are going to make more of an impact for God's kingdom than any broken record could ever make. And I remember in the computer lab crying like a baby and ready to run through a stinking brick wall after I read that email, because what my dad did was he gave me permission to go change the world, not through my own strength, but through God's. And that was an amazing experience. My dad thought I was cooler than Cal Ripken Jr. that day. And that unleashes you. That unleashes you more than you can ever imagine. And that's really what this is all about. The whole blessing process, it's an unleashing into the world and helping our children imagine that, hey, there can be more that come out of my life than I could ever dream if I just simply believe what's being told to me, that God in me can do more than I could ever do myself.
Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us. Raise your countenance on us and give us peace. Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine. shine upon us. Raise your countenance on us and give us peace.
Well, that is actually a, if I can wake up the computer here and get it to move, which it's not doing yet, but hopefully will soon. Wow, why is it not doing anything? Where is, let's see here. Who's a really good at PowerPoint? Oh, there we go. All right, there we go. Well, that video is from a small group series that we just finished with Focus on the Family. And it's based on the biblical blessing, and what's exciting about it for me is it's part of something called the Blessing Challenge. Now, what in the world is the Blessing Challenge? Well, it's a 7-year initiative that our small little ministry, strongfamilies.com, and a bigger ministry called Focus on the Family is launching all across the country that's based on a passage in Scripture, Deuteronomy 30:19. And let me read you this passage in Deuteronomy, because for some of you that aren't Old Testament majors, you know, when you open to Deuteronomy 30, the pages stick together. And it says, "Now I call," the Lord says to his people, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you that I have set before you," and listen to this choice that Almighty God sets before his people. He sets before them life or death, the blessing or the curse. So choose life, you and your descendants. And what a beautiful picture of Almighty God saying, we're to choose life in him. You know, today we're to choose life in Christ, but then beyond that, we're to choose his blessing. And then once we get our blessing, we're to pass it down to those people that God has put in our life story. So that's what I get to do for a day job. For example, at theblessing.com, when we launch, actually it launches in April, it's up now, but we officially launch in April with all the big publicity things. But what we're doing is we're calling 1 million people to step up and understand what those 5 biblical things were that were a part of the blessing, and to give it to their family first, and then to pick one family or one child outside their family to bless. So it's 1 million people blessing their family. It's 1,000 churches that are willing to say, hey, we're going to preach one message on the blessing and call our people to take the challenge. And then it's 100,000 emerging adults, which are those 19 to 30-ish year olds and aren't yet married. A lot of them have been shipwrecked and have lots of hurts, and they're going to find freedom in Christ and then from that platform really make a choice to bless others. Now, doesn't that sound, I mean, that's a 3-point message right there, okay? But I'm not going to close in prayer, because that's not really why I came to chapel. The bottom line is that 34 years ago, I graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. And ever since then, I prayed if they ever asked me to come and speak at chapel, meaning this is the first time in 34 years, but if they ever asked me to come back, I wouldn't talk about who I am now. I mean, I'm thrilled and honored with what I get to do. And I'm telling you, I hope you show up. We're doing a brown bag lunch thing, and I'll talk about family ministry. And if any of you are interested in writing books, I'm really old. I've written a lot of books, and kids' books, and adult books. And so show up at 4 o'clock, and I'll talk to you about how you do book proposals and get your book in print. Because the best books that are going to are the ones that are going to be written, not just the ones that are written now. But I always thought if I ever got the chance and somehow, you know, I slipped through the crack and was able to come back and get into the queue and speak at chapel, I'd talk about who I was when I got here, not who I am now. And who I was when I got to Dallas Theological Seminary was a mess. Now, you're all just awesome, phenomenal. That's why you came to Dallas Seminary. I came because I was a mess. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. I had come to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. I had quit drinking. That was a good thing. I had, you know, I was leading a young life club, so I was leading kids to Christ, and I was doing my best to really carry God's word to people. But I was just a mess. I grew up in a single-parent home. My mom and dad divorced when I was 2.5 months old. I never met my dad till I was in high school. When I did meet him, he was an angry alcoholic, and I used to hate my dad. And then I became a Christian, and I just intensely disliked him. And it actually took me years before I realized, well, I needed to forgive him. But I hadn't forgiven him when I showed up at Dallas Seminary. I wrestled in college, and I had this whole cloak of anger. I mean, anger helps you in competitive sports, but it ruins your relationships. And so here I am. I'm a first-generation Christian. I'm brand new to the faith. I'm going to Texas Christian University. I can't believe I'm a frog through and through, even though, gosh, I can't believe, let's not talk about yesterday. But the point is that I want to go to Dallas Seminary, but I'm a mess. And so I apply to come here, and guess what? They turned me down. Can you imagine? I mean, just because I had crummy grades and was a total mess, and they turned me down. But one of the regional directors for Young Life, I was working at Young Life, knew one of the board members in Arizona at the time named Ralph Eaton, and he calls Ralph Eaton and says, hey, there's this Arizona guy, and he's come to know Christ, and okay, he's had a couple of speed bumps, and you know, his grades aren't that great, but you need to get him in. And all of a sudden, I get a letter at the end of May, and I'm in at Dallas Seminary, wait a minute, on probation, okay? But I start the next week. I start baby Greek the next week. Now, who thought that up? Baby Greek, right? So I go through, that ruins my summer. And then, so that was really good. So I thought if I ever get the chance to come to Dallas Seminary and preach at chapel, I'm going to talk to you about what a mess I was when I got here and about five things that Dallas Seminary did to change my life and my life story. And I believe it'll do the same thing and is still doing the same thing today. And again, you know, 5 points, and I'll end right on time, right at 2:30. And my homiletics profs are just going crazy. 5 points. I can do it. Watch, okay? Here we go. Bottom line is here at DTS, when I showed up and I was such a mess, I found a foundation. Now, I knew Christ. I had all the enthusiasm in the world, but I really had no foundation for it. But I thank God, my first class during the fall semester. Now, back then, you had to declare a major. I don't know what it is like now, but you had to declare a major, right? So there's a big room, and there's all these tables, and there were two tables where the shortest line said New Testament and Old Testament. Well, I'm sitting there going, well, this is ridiculous. I'm here to study the Bible. I'm going to go become a New Testament major. It didn't say Greek. I had no idea when I signed up as a New Testament major I was going to be a Greek major. And I didn't know either back then. I don't know how it is now, but if you majored in Greek back then, you had to minor in Hebrew. So that was a great 4 years of my life, never even having had Spanish by the time I got here. But I think God that I was able to dig into God's word, because let me give you a quick example. I show up in my first day of real class, not baby Greek, but my first day of real class, and I'm in a classroom. I'm a Greek major, so I signed up for a Greek class in the book of Revelation with S. Lewis Johnson. Now, let me tell you, S. Lewis Johnson, some of you remember, I mean, for you guys, a lot of you, it's just a name, okay? But I wrestled in college, and I've been in a lot of stare downs, okay? Before you start a wrestling match, you know, I've been in a lot of stare downs with people, and one of the most intimidating people I've ever been around is S. Lewis Johnson, okay? And so he's a Greek professor, and so he, just reading the role, I was intimidated, you know? And then he tells, you know, this is the book of Revelation, and the first 20 minutes is how it's not plural, it's singular, which I didn't know. Everybody else was from Bible school, and they knew that, but I'm actually taking notes on this stuff. And then he sits there and he goes, so here's your assignment and I'm going to let you go early. And I'm not making this up before the Lord. He sits there and he goes, okay, what I'd like you to do is to translate the book of Revelation 3 times before our next class. This is on a Thursday, it was our first class. So so I'm smiling, I'm thinking this has got to be a joke, right? I look around, they're serious. I mean, nobody else is smiling, and I look back and I realize he's serious. And so that's how I started off my academic career, you know, was that. But you know what, I thank God that I did finally get through that, and I got through all of those courses. But I thank God that he put a foundation of his word under my life. Because let me tell you what, when you're a mess, you don't need to just go out with enthusiasm. You need to go out knowing who the Lord is and knowing that you get to speak about something that's independent of just who you are. Do you see what I'm getting at? I've had the great, awesome privilege of speaking to a million men at Promise Keepers conferences all over the country. A million men. And if you don't think it's intimidating to get up in front of 63,000 people at the RCA Dome, you know, huge group. But guess what? After you leave Dallas Seminary, one of the things that they will unleash you to do is even though we're all messes, I think, to some degree, bottom line is you get to go out and karuxantan logon. You get to preach the word, and it is in letting people know about God's word and who he is. You don't have to go out on your own confidence. And so I'm around a lot of very serious people. I do a lot with the military. I just got back from Thule Air Force Base in Greenland. I had a great chance to speak with the 82nd Airborne a little bit ago and with 100 Marines, officers just a little bit ago. And I'm around a lot of serious people. And let me tell you, you try walking into ministry on your own strength. You know, what Dallas Seminary does is say, hey, we don't care if you're broken, or at least that's what they said to me. Get that foundation in God's word. Get that foundation, and then, boy, then you can go out. So that's the first thing, is that DTS gave me a foundation. The second thing is it gave me real community. Now, that's a big, today that's kind of big, you know, community. You hear about community. But I didn't know about community. I just knew I was a mess, right? And in fact, my first test, there was a professor named Dr. Bruce Waukee, and some of you remember Dr. Waukee, and he was a great, awesome, wonderful Harvard scholar that came here and was a Hebrew prof, but also taught biblical introduction. And I spent 14 hours studying for my first test. 14 hours. And that was, I took it on Friday. I thought, I probably did okay. Back then, we didn't have the really nice mail room. We had a real crummy shack over there where we got the mail. And so I would go over to the shack to get my, and I get my grade, and I got a 58 on my first test. And I was over by Mosher Library. It's different today. Now it's, I guess, Turpin Library, or maybe Mosher's still there. I don't know. But I couldn't get in this morning when I walked over to the old one. But there used to be a big bunch of hedges there. And I was standing by those hedges. You know why? Because I had tears in my eyes because I realized I'm not going to make it at Dallas Seminary. Here I've got all these things to translate, and that's a nightmare. I've signed up to be a Greek major, and now I get a 58 after studying 14 hours on a test. And guess who came over to me? It was a guy named Teddy Kitchens. Well, now it's Ted Kitchens, Dr. Ted Kitchens. He's a double. He got his THD from here at Dallas and a PhD from Southwestern. But at the time, it's just Teddy. We're students. And he walks over and sees me. And, hey, what's going on? Your girlfriend breaking up with you? And that was a joke because I couldn't get a date back then. And I go, well, no, you know. And I tell him, you know, I go, I don't think I'm going to make it. I studied 14 hours. I got a stinking 58. And he puts his arm around me and he said, you're not quitting. You can make this. You can do it. I didn't do well my first, you know, year, but you can make it. And I get into his class 2 days later, Dr. Waukee's class, and I didn't realize he curved the grade, and a 58 was a B. But I thank God that I had somebody that had put his arm around me when things were tough and said, you're not quitting. And I thank God for a guy named Craig Glickman, who taught here, but at the time he was a student. Because my senior year, I was so broke, I paid for tuition, and I had no money. I mean, zero money. And the long story short was I didn't have enough to get a... I didn't have a whole apartment, and I was living in my car, and Craig found out, and if you don't know, Craig lives, you know, in Highland Park in this huge home, and they had a whole wing they weren't using. And my senior year at Dallas Seminary, I lived in my own wing in Highland Park because somebody stepped up, and a guy named Ken Geyer, some of you might have heard that name. I walk out to my car that was pathetic. It was as big a mess as I was. And there was an envelope, and I could tell the guy's handwriting because I knew him since college, and he had such a distinctive handwriting. And I have no money for gas. I'm skipping way too many meals, which I need to do now, but I didn't back then. And bottom line is there's an envelope on underneath my windshield, and I pull it open on my Volkswagen, you know, take the envelope out, and there's $20, which today would be $100. And I was able to fill up my car and fill up my stomach because somebody here, a student, I mean, I learned about community here at DTS. Well, real quick, I found my calling for ministry here. See, I showed up. You guys are so together, and most of you have been, you know, you've been to Bible college, you've been to 8 billion required chapels, and so you're asleep anyway, so I'm only talking to the four people that are a mess like me, but the ones that really are like me and a mess and haven't figured out when they came here exactly what they're going to do, because I just knew I needed to know God's word. And I was so sick of working with these families and young life and seeing these precious, awesome young men and women come to Christ. And then you build them up and you put them back in these incredibly dysfunctional homes. And it was like I was weaving all day and trying to build God's word into their life. And then their parents were ripping it apart at night. And so long story short is I come to seminary. But back then, it isn't like today. Did you know that if you look at all the seminaries around today, I'm not making this up, Dr. Lawson has researched this, okay, guess how many seminaries require their students to take a course in the Christian home? One, Dallas Theological Seminary. And I thank God that when in my second semester of my first year, I didn't know what I was going to do exactly, but I walk into class, and it's the Christian home with Dr. Hendricks. And I sat there, and I didn't get up when it was over. In fact, I walked up to Dr. Hendricks, and I talked to him. He was very gracious for about 20 minutes, and I walked outside, and I am so old. This is before cell phones. I mean, think of that, you know. And I walked to a payphone, and I called my mom because I wasn't married. Again, I couldn't even get a date back then. And so I called my mom on the phone, and I said, Mom, I just figured out what I'm doing for the rest of my life. I'm going to take God's word, that's why I came to Dallas Seminary, and learn how to apply it to families. And I'm going to do that through the church for the rest of my life. And I got my calling here. I mean, you know, let me tell you, talk about unleashing you to go do ministry. My first sermon ever was at Northwest Bible Church. I was a senior. I was an intern at the church. For some reason, it was much smaller. They let me speak. And so I speak on the Christian home, even though I didn't have a family. But hey, I've got my calling, and I speak on that. And guess who the first two people were to reach me afterwards? The first two people to come up and hug me. One was Dr. Don Campbell, who became president, and gives me a big hug, and hey, great job. And then it's Howie Hendricks, it's Prof. Hendricks. And he gives me a hug, and you know, great job. And I go, thanks. And later on, I'm talking to Howie, and I go, did you really think it was good? And he goes, nah, but you'll get better. And doesn't that sound like him? And you know what? I spent 34 years now just trying to get better. But the reason I can is because I've got a foundation for my faith. I've got people still around me that I can do community with because I saw it. And if you're brand new, don't freak if you don't know anybody. I don't know anybody. You've just got here. I mean, be friends with somebody and be in community with them. Reach out to them. But you'll find your calling here, I'm convinced. And then one other thing here is I found grace, of all places. I mean, this is the home of, well, let's try parsing that correctly, shall we? I won't tell you which professor told me that. But the point is that I found grace at Dallas Theological Seminary. Can you imagine? It was my senior year, and as a Greek major, you know, I don't know if they still do this, but you had to translate the entire New Testament as a part of being a Greek major, and I just saw one of my professors over there. Anyway, who knew what a pathetic student I was? And so, but anyway, bottom line is, I mean, who thought that up? In all deference to whatever academic dean came up with, you've got to translate the whole New Testament. So I'm trying to finish translating the whole New Testament while I'm in senior sizzle with Dr. Ryrie, which again is a name to you, but we were all intimidated by him. And then now I've got to do my thesis. And I worked hard. I mean, I really worked hard. And then the day came when we got, just about 2 weeks before graduation, where we got our slip back that said what our grade was, okay? And have you ever seen the movie A Christmas Story? Remember the Red Ryder BB gun deal? And remember he turns in his theme to the teacher? And in his mind, he thinks, what? She's up on the board going, A plus, 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 plus. And the rest of the students are carrying him around. And I'm telling you, I'm thinking this is the best thesis ever written on Christ's words from the cross. And I mean, you know, there was, I actually helped Max Lucado get his first book in print. But move over, Max, you know. I mean, this is you know, the best thesis ever written. And at Dallas Seminary History, and humbly, I was thinking, and I go over and I get, you know, they used to send you back these little grade slips. I don't know how they do it now, but I opened up the deal, and there's not a grade slip. It says, please come to my office. And so I walk up to Zane Hodges' office, Prof. Hodges' office, who is my thesis, and I had been in there bugging him tons and talking to him and working hard and doing my best, but I was such a mess. And even my senior year, and he goes, hey, John, come on in. And he goes, shut the door. So I shut the door, and he goes, well, you know, I have never shared this story. Laura doesn't even know it, our youngest, because I haven't shared it before. But I thought if I ever came back to Dallas Seminary, I'd share this story. And plus, Zane is now, Prof. Hodges is now with the Lord, so he can't object. Anyway. But I will never forget him saying, shut the door, and I shut the door, and he goes, well, I should flunk you. He goes, but I know how hard you've worked, and he hands me my grade slip, and it's a C minus. And he goes, I want you to graduate and go love people. And I thank God that I found grace at Dallas Seminary. I started on probation. I entered because a teacher, now you know, I check this out. Whenever I'm in Dallas, I'll come by and check it out. I use different names so that it looks like somebody else has checked it out. But there's my, Mr. Grasvick is gonna, there's my C minus from Prof. Hodges. And I thank God the Dallas Seminary, as big a mess as I was, said, you know what, here's a foundation for your ministry, so you don't have to go out on your own, even though you're a mess. Here's how you can learn how to do community, real community. Here's, you know, a way for you to find your calling, and not only that, to find grace. And here's why all that matters. And she's going to hate this, but hey, Laura, I know you're going to hate this. So, but we're right on time. Something's wrong. And so, tell me what's your friend's name that just started seminary here? What's her name? Alicia. So can you and Alicia come up here just real quick? And as they're running down here, so come on down. So here's our youngest daughter, the baby, Laura, who's a nurse at Baylor. Went to Baylor, and now she's at Baylor Nursing. Come on up. You got to walk around. And this is, I always prayed if I ever had a chance to do chapel, and you know, again, it's been 34 years. I won't come back. So watch this. Okay. But tell me your name again.
Alicia.
Alicia. Okay, well, now you're a new student, right?
Yes, sir.
When did you start?
I started in January.
Ooh, cool. So, I thought when Laura said you were going to sit with her, I thought, well, the way I would end, and this is how we'll end, and so I'll ask you to stand if you would, and then I'll close us in prayer. But let me just say this, that foundation in God's Word and, you know, that calling that I got here and all the equipping and the loving and the graciousness that I was shown here, guess what that really equipped me to do? It really equipped me to bless my own family. Because I'm here to tell you, you can speak to 1 million people and write 26 books and all these other things, and it means absolute spit if you're not giving the blessing to your family. So it starts at home. And then you move from there. And I hope you'll come to the lunch, and I'll talk to you about family ministry. Or if you want to write books, I hope you'll come and at 4 o'clock and find out about that. I'd be honored to meet with you. But I want to just close by praying a blessing on our daughter, who loves this. She just loves to be in front of people. And then Alicia is representative. I can't put my hand on all of you and on my professors, but I'm going to put my hand on her shoulder. Let's go to the word of the Lord and a word of prayer, and then you're dismissed when we're done. Well, Lord Jesus, I do thank you for Laura, and I thank you that I was such a mess when I came here, and through the incredible models of people that loved you and that faculty that wasn't easy and it was difficult and it was expensive for me and it was all those things, I am so grateful for the time you carved out in my life to come here. And I am so grateful that every book, every message, I don't have to go out on my own. I can just be that redeemed mess, and I get to carry your word. And most of all, I get to carry it home. And so I do ask your blessing on Laura. And I ask you, it's tough being a nursing student. And I know yesterday, all day, she's in the hospital, and just bless her and be with her. Thank you for her love for you. And I'd ask you to equip her and bless her and continue as she leads a small group of women, Lord. Might she do it on the foundation of your strength and not her own. And so bless her and thank you for her and her sister and mom. And for Alicia, Lord, and all the students here. Now, Alicia's in great shape, and she's awesome and tremendous, but there are some people like me that are just messes. And so I would ask, Lord, that you would put, as I'm putting my hand on her shoulder, you'd put your hand on their shoulder and say, I don't care if you got a 58 or a C-, and you didn't win the Greek or Hebrew award, couldn't spell it. Well, Lord, I'm so grateful that you love us and care for us, and you can do so much in our life. So thank you for this awesome place. I pray they give millions of dollars at that luncheon to support it, and as we do in our prayers and giving. And so thank you for loving us, and thank you for these students. Bless Alicia. Might she just go on to just, like all of these students, do incredible things for you. So it's in your precious name we do pray, Lord Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.